Welcome to Constructive Conversations with the Builders Institute, brought to you by the Builders Institute of Westchester and the Mid-Hudson Region. Founded in 1946, the BRI is an independent trade association serving all areas of the building and realty industry, including planning, engineering, legal, and government relations. This program is an interactive forum keeping you up to date on the latest news and trends. Now, Constructive Conversations. Here's your host, Associate Executive Director of the BRI, Jeff Hanley.
Welcome to Constructive Conversations with the Builders Institute. We thank you for joining us this evening. I am Jeff Hanley, Associate Executive Director of the Builders Institute, and your program host. We are coming to you live from the studios of AM 970 The Answer in New York City. The Builders Institute, also known as the Building and Realty Institute, is a building, realty, and construction industry membership organization. Our association has more than 1,800 members in 14 counties of New York State. We are truly a statewide organization. The Builders Institute consistently addresses issues facing the building, realty, and construction sector, as well as the general business community, and that is the focus of our program here on AM 970, The Answer. As I mentioned, we are live. So please feel free to call us at 866-970-9622 with any questions or comments that you may have. That number again, 866-970-9622. And we would love input on our program. Please send that input to jeff@buildersinstitute.org. That is Jeff, JEFF@buildersinstitute.org, just as it sounds. We have a very serious topic to address this evening. There are labor shortages in the building industry in our region, and they are having effects on our region's housing market. As I said, a very, very intense topic. Our guest this evening, and he has been with us before, is Daniel Dawkins. Daniel is the principal of Dawkins Development Group Incorporated, which has offices here in New York City, as well as in Westchester County, Greenwich, Connecticut, and Atlanta. Dan is a longtime member of the Builders Institute, and as I mentioned earlier, he's been a frequent guest on Constructive Conversations. Daniel, thank you so much for participating once more on our show. How are you this evening?
I'm doing all right. Yourself? Hey, Jeff.
Daniel, hey, thanks so much for coming back. We really appreciate it. Why don't you give us a brief synopsis of Dawkins Development Group?
Well, Dawkins Development Group is a building and remodeling company. We specialize in residential home building. We do light commercial, as far as office renovations. We do apartment renovations as well as, restaurants and, small commercial, commercial sectors. We also have a handyman division for smaller projects and things of that nature.
Yeah, Daniel, your company is a full-service builder home remodeling company, so you are definitely a perfect guest to address tonight's topic. And again, many, many thanks for joining us. Daniel, a report on the website of the National Association of Home Builders, which is also known as NAHB, a report on August 6th said that labor and subcontractor shortages remained widespread in July across the country, with builders reporting either serious shortages or some shortages. Labor shortages in 14 occupations were either unchanged or even more widespread than where they were at this point last year, that NAHB report added. As I mentioned, this is a serious subject. Daniel, in your opinion, is our region continuing to experience those shortages?
Definitely. It's something that you know, I ponder on, you know, just around the office with my staff, because we always constantly, you know, talking about, you know, we need to put ads out and things of that nature. We tend to find a lot of people who's, you know, looking into, you know, employment and stuff like that, but it's finding the skilled labor, you know. When you say across the country, you know, just watching the stats and stuff like that, I think the specialty trades, you know, is having, you know, the harder hit when it comes to finding, you know, the labor. You know, electricians and plumbers are a little bit more uniform, where it seems to be that they're doing a little bit, you know, better as far as being able to supply labor on demand than, you know, some of the specialty trades, as far as like your craftsmen, your framers, your interior, you know, carpenter, finish guys and stuff like that. You find a lot of guys that I'm finding that you have more availability are more drywall guys who's into more finishing, preparation of the drywall. But to get skilled framers and stuff like that is almost like it's a waiting list. And majority of the help that I'm finding that's out here are subcontractors that might be a 2 or 3 man crew. And then, you know, once they with one builder, you know, you wait in 3-4 weeks just to be able to, you know, be able to get the services, because trying to find skilled guys to hire in-house have been a, you know, a dilemma and a challenge, you know, just over the last year or so.
Yeah, we have some really, really great stats from the NAHB report that we will get into in just a little bit. But I did want to ask you this question, Daniel. The NAHB report said that the shortages are continuing to impact the building industry in a number of ways, including putting additional upward pressure on new home prices. Do you agree with that assessment?
I definitely agree with it, because one, when you look at the facts of it, if it's taking longer for an investor or, you know, a development firm to turn a profit on a project that might be sitting for a while, the prices have to go up, because you have carrying costs, you have mortgage notes and things of that nature that have to be covered regardless. And if the labor shortage is not being able to get these projects done in a timely manner from the time that the commitments actually start, that means the project sits on their books a lot longer. So just analyzing that from the beginning, those prices, you know, are inflated before the projects even start, because, you know, as an investor, you have to look across the board of what, you know, what's going to be the turnaround on that project, and you have to factor all of those things in. So it's definitely, you know, affecting, you know, the new home construction market, you know, the sales on the properties.
Listen to these stats, Daniel. The NAHB survey, okay, listed 15 specific occupations, and for each one, builders reported widespread shortages of varying degrees. They range from a low of 47% for building maintenance managers to a high of 83% for framing crews. And you did mention framing work earlier. Other categories reporting shortages, according to the NAHB survey, include rough carpenters, 82%, finished carpenters, 78%, bricklayers and masons, 71%, concrete workers, 70%, and plumbers, 67%. So what you said earlier is absolutely on target. These are widespread shortages in the specialty contractor categories. I would imagine you're hearing these same types of numbers from your colleagues. Is that correct, Daniel?
Definitely hearing it from the colleagues. But, you know, first and foremost, it's really from hands-on experience. You know, just out here, you know, in the industry daily and seeing the things that actually need to get done. You know, the trades that are out here isn't like the trades when we were coming up. They're not multi-skilled in areas to where a crew can be able to expedite and get certain things done. Everything is literally broken down into single phases. If nowadays, if a guy come on and he does drywall, it seems like that's all he know or all he wants to do. He don't want to hang the sheetrock. He just wants to finish it, you know. And when I was coming through the industry and building, you know, my skill through carpentry and things of that nature, my terminology of what a carpenter was supposed to be was someone who have mastered all trades that can do electrical, plumbing, tile, drywall. And that's what actually made you a carpenter if you go back into the history of what carpentry is all about. But what I'm seeing nowadays is either they, you know, people don't want to do the work or they just, you know, pretty much skill the areas to where they can just push production. And out of a whole crew, you may have one master bricklayer and everybody else is just laying brick to the line and don't really know why they're laying it. And I don't know if it's because of the lack of, you know, the trade programs that used to be out here in the beginning to catch, you know, people at the earlier stages. But now, you know, it seems like it's just all about production. And, you know, a lot of the labor forces that I see that's here in the industry are from a lot of people who's even outside of the country. So there's nothing really given back within the community. So a lot of people that's within the community are mostly bodies, but no real skills. So I think that's where the shortage is coming. It's not that you don't have the individuals to actually do the work. You don't have qualified individuals. And, you know, as a building contractor, you know, you can't take certain risks on just putting certain people in certain things. And, you know, even with me struggling trying to grow my company, mm-hmm. I still find myself jumping, you know, in the field every now and then because certain things just have to be a certain way. And if you can't wait 2-3 weeks, you got to make sure that you're able to get it done.
You're listening to Constructive Conversations with the Builders Institute live here on AM 970 The Answer. I am Jeff Hanley, Associate Executive Director of the Builders Institute and your program host. We thank you so very much for joining us this evening. We are speaking with Daniel Dawkins, a longtime member of the Builders Institute. Daniel is also the principal of Dawkins Development Group, Inc., which has offices in New York City, Westchester County, Greenwich, Connecticut, and Atlanta. We are addressing a very intense topic, the continuing labor shortages in the building industry and their definitive effects on our region's housing market. Daniel, that same NAHB report that we've been citing throughout the program had the following criteria in terms of how the labor shortages may be having effects. I shouldn't even say maybe, how the labor shortages are having effects on the businesses of builders and remodelers. This is some fascinating stuff. At least 3 out of 4 respondents to the NAHB report cited that the shortages of workers are having noteworthy effects, including causing builders to pay higher wages and subcontractor bids. 87% responded positively to that last statement. Do you agree with that?
I definitely agree. And that was actually talked about a little bit, you know, last year at the IBS in Vegas, the International Builders Show, HBA was there. And that was a subject, you know, that they were touching on. And getting into a whole nother year, you see that the stats are moving more in that direction. Like, this is not something that just started happening last year. It's something that's been going on. The fluctuation, you know, was going up and down. And, you know, a lot of it, in my personal opinion, has to do with a lot of political things that's, you know, going on in the country, you know, as far as, you know, maneuvering of men and things of that nature. But it's definitely, you know, showing up. And I think going forward, in my opinion, next year, we're going to see even more of a shortage.
Wow.
As far as labor itself.
Wow, that is really, really a stark comment. Absolutely. Daniel, 81% of respondents, 81% of the builder respondents in the NAHB survey said that these shortages are making it difficult for their businesses to complete projects on time. Are you experiencing that situation? Are your colleagues experiencing that situation?
Definitely experiencing it, and it's something that I've been pondering on, you know, myself as far as just implementing other systems into my sales tactics when I'm meeting my customers on the front end, because one thing about having a successful project is really about communication. And a lot of times, you know, when projects are going over schedule, clients don't really understand. All they do is understand of a time frame that you actually gave them. So, you know, things that I've been thinking about is incorporating that, because my projects have taken longer than expected than normally a project would actually take, only because the lack of the skill help that you actually need to be able to get it done and the expectations of the people that work with you daily every day have, you know, have changed and, you know, stuff like that. So, it, you know, you're 100% correct. And it's something that needs to be discussed, and it's something that the community, you know, need to be abreast about, because, you know, a normal project that would normally take 6 months might take 8 to 9 months because it's a waiting game.
Wow. Wow. Just amazing stuff. We did touch on the following two items, but I really did want to mention them because they do illustrate what we are citing this evening. 79% of respondents in the NHAB survey said that the labor shortages continue to make it harder for their businesses to find subcontractors with well-trained employees. 79%. And again, we mentioned this, but I think it's important to cite, 75% said that the labor shortages are facing builders to raise home prices. So this is very much a serious situation. Daniel, I know there's no quick fix answer to this situation, but what can the building and construction industry do to attract workers into our labor force? What would you do if you had the power to do that?
If I had the personal power to do it, I would probably, you know, maybe, you know, enforce, you know, some training programs, because, you know, I touched on this a little bit earlier, you know, about having that one lead foreman and, you know, six guys who just basically follow the line and not really knowing why they're doing what they're doing, is because there's no real training. And what it does is it forces the prices that we pay out weekly. It's almost double in what, you know, we have to pay out, you know, just in labor. At one point, you know, materials was almost higher than what the labor, you know, the labor cost would be on the job side. And he was able to kind of estimate a job by knowing your material cost by two. But now the labor is almost doubling because it's taking longer to, you know, to complete these projects. And it makes it uncompetitive for you, even with putting the bid out, you know, to stay competitive, you know, in the market itself. The only thing that I think is worth addressing is really just, you know, beefing up the trades and the training, you know. And like I said, it goes back to, you know, some of the early institutions as far as even the high schools, you know, putting these programs back into the shop classes, because, yes, you know, we're talking about a community and a country that, you know, that we have to sustain ourselves for the future of our children and things of that nature. It has to start at a beginning phase, you know, because you get at a certain phase, you know, people, they have responsibilities. They just looking to pay a bill. So it's not really about acquiring a skill. It's about what they can make per day. And you're never going to get anything out of quality of life with that mentality.
Good statements, Daniel. Absolutely. It is imperative that members of the building and construction industry cite to the younger sectors of our population that careers in building and construction can most definitely produce positives. It's 7:53 a.m. here on, I should say 7:53 p.m. here on AM 970 The Answer. You're listening to Constructive Conversations with the Builders Institute. We are speaking with Daniel Dawkins, a longtime member of the Builders Institute and the principal of Dawkins Development Group, Inc. We have been talking about the labor shortages in the building industry and their definite effects on our region's housing market. We have about 4 to 5 minutes. I'm going to ask you, Daniel, a series of quick questions. on conditions in our industry. And if you can supply us with some brief answers, that would be really, really awesome. Okay, new home construction. What's happening in our region in that area?
Well, new home construction is definitely still growing. You know, regardless, despite of, you know, what's happened with the labor shortage, you know, business is business. You know, without the real estate industry, you know, you have no real economy. So, you know, if you look on the outskirts and just speaking on, you know, the New York City market, you know, there's definitely tear downs and rebuilds going up. If you get into the southern region in Atlanta, they're still, you know, doing a lot of developments, more leaning more towards commercial apartment and multifamily and things of that nature. So I definitely see that the new construction market continuing. It has to, you know, because we live in an old city, one of the, you know, the first established cities in America to where, you know, now a lot of these buildings are coming down and being rehabbed and, mm-hmm. you know, the outskirts is being developed.
Residential remodeling. Are consumers still confident as the months go on?
Definitely confident in the remodeling, more in the kitchen and bath, you know, industry. A lot of these homes that's, you know, being sold, those are the most areas that I'm finding myself picking up the most clientele in. There's a lot of kitchen and bath remodeling, not too much exterior unless there's immediate demand on a roof or siding or something like that. But definitely when you look at the remodeling industry itself, it's mainly a personal preference of the home buyer wanting to, you know, update their home and their kitchen and bathroom.
Daniel, your company has a large commercial division for commercial remodeling. What's happening in that area?
As far as my company itself, we haven't been doing much commercial lately. We lean in, you know, more going towards that direction now. In the past, the commercial projects we have worked on, like I mentioned, was private investors who may have, you know, got a building, wanted to open up a restaurant or nightclub or, you know, a beauty salon and things of that nature. But, you know, lately we've been really, really busy, you know, in the residential sector.
Okay.
And, you know, we also do a lot of insurance work. So, you know, we stay busy doing restoration and water and fire damage as well.
Daniel, are you sensing that building owners, managers, and corporations are still willing to have projects done as 2019 continues to move on?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, so that upbeat sentiment that's been with us over the past 3 years or so, that is continuing as we near the latter stages of 2019.
Yeah, I see it. I do see that a slowdown may be occurring. I can't predict when, only because some of the investors, you know, I see their movement of, you know, the communication of how we even communicate. But I say over the next 3 to 4 years, you know, especially in the northern region, I don't really see, you know, too much change in, you know, as far as, you know, decreasing.
Got it. Daniel, what are the obstacles facing builders in our region? Is it a lack of buildable lots? Is it excessive regulations on a state and local level? Is it anti-growth sentiments? I know that's a loaded question for a 30-second answer, but can you give us a brief answer, please?
I think it's self-gratification, because what I'm seeing, like, I got my eye on a few parcels right now in Westchester County, and I just think that the homeowners' expectations is just unrealistic, because what are they asking for? These prices are way beyond the appraisal market, but they know that they're in such a demand area, it's not allowing the builders to really be creative and do what they want, because the homeowners don't really understand the market value, or is that instant gratification of, I wouldn't say greed is their property, but at the same time, it's over expectations of what that property is actually worth. Because there's a lot of partials that's great partials that got a lot of good potential, but us as builders, we can't do anything with them if the market is not allowing us, you know, to buy at a fair price.
Daniel Dawkins, Dawkins Development Group, thank you so very much for joining us on Constructive Conversations. Remember, listeners, input can be sent to jeff@buildersinstitute.org, jeff@buildersinstitute.org. Thank you. Thank you all for joining us this evening.